You are listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte. Feel free to follow up on today's show by visiting their website, TrianaPreventionCenter.com, all one word, and spelled T-R-I-A-N-A. Also, we'd like to remind you that this is a live medical talk show. You're invited to participate. Our phone lines are open. Call now at 941-206-1580 or toll free 888-441-1580. And now, here is your host, Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Okay, well, welcome back again. And if you're just tuning in to the second part of our show, we're very blessed today to have a wonderful guest. We have Deborah Dunham, and she's a nurse practitioner, and she works with Dr. Paul Popper here in Port Charlotte, right?
Yes, yes.
Where are you?
We're over by the Veterans Administration, right off of Highway 41, 4161 Tamiami Trail, right behind Chubby's. But I suggest that, you know, if you want a real heart attack, go get their hamburger. It's absolutely delicious. And don't forget the chicken wings, but only eat 10. That's all you get for the day and possibly the week. And take your cholesterol medicine after.
Oh, my gosh.
We actually call it the Center for Performing Hearts.
I love your logo, too.
And that's just because heart disease, we can get out there. We can manage it very easily. Every patient is just a little bit different. But at the same time, managing heart disease is simple. It's easy. It actually gives a lot of patients their life back. It actually allows patients to maneuver and become healthier. So it's like a fine piece of music, actually.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And me being a family physician, I try to prevent heart disease, stroke, and diabetes. But when patients have problems and they've seen the both of you, and you both are such a great team taking care of the patients, it's just wonderful to have two different people, but yet they have a wonderful working relationship and just great care. Yeah.
Dr. Popper focuses very much on the medical aspect. He focuses on the disease or the primary problem. How are we going to eradicate it, stop it, prevent symptoms from happening again? That's the medical perspective. Where the nurse practitioner perspective comes in, I look at the patient from head to toe. I like to know about their family life. I like to know what they do for exercise. I like to know what they did to get to me, whether it's maybe one or too many cigarettes, whether it's I'm at a desk job all day long. I don't exercise. Exercise is a four-letter word. Well, I like to eat, and this is what I eat. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. Too many calories. Maybe too many or too much milk or dairy products, sometimes too many sugary foods or starchy foods. I like to focus on what makes the person tick. And then from there, that's how I make my plan of care. Again, medications are one avenue, but addressing all the avenues you can get healthy from high blood pressure and heart disease and high cholesterol, very, very important. Diabetes also.
If a patient, say if a patient is put on, well, not going back to when I was put on it, but would there ever be a way that I could get off of blood pressure medication and cholesterol medication through proper diet and exercise? Would that work?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Not all the time.
I'm probably in the not sometimes group.
I think the blood pressure medicine is one place to start. Mm-hmm. Patients with high blood pressure, as you and I mature, our blood pressure generally gets higher.
Right.
So some patients may never get off of it. As a matter of fact, the average number of medications for blood pressure one patient takes is 3.
Really?
Yes. And so that's difficult to manage blood pressure. However, what you can do about it, reduce your salt intake. Mm-hmm. Lose weight. I have to say, get skinny. So whatever your ideal weight is, then add 20 pounds back to it. and that's a good weight for most people to be at. Your blood pressure should be lower for doing that. Also, exercise every day.
Yeah.
And again, eat that 1,500 to 1,800 calorie a day diet. That helps maintain the weight. It gives you good fruits and vegetables. And I can't stress the fruits and vegetables enough. That's half of everybody's dinner plate every single day. So make sure your meat portion is only a third,
yeah.
About 4 ounces. And avoid dairy, any cow meat,
right.
Beef actually has bad cholesterol, bad fat. And as you and I eat the wrong diet, we also collect more cholesterol, and cholesterol builds up. And also a contributing factor to high blood pressure over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very important. I know a lot of patients are asking and are kind of confused. Maybe you could talk about aspirin.
Oh, yes, right up my alley. The number one drug I prescribe. Actually, first of all, if you think you need to be on aspirin, always ask your physician. If you're just going to take it every day as a preventative measure, we don't recommend that. However, we recommend it when you have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and a specific heart problem. As a matter of fact, sometimes we give it for stroke and vascular disease as well. You should take a baby aspirin or enteric-coated aspirin once a day only. You don't need more than that because it can thin your blood too much, and then you may have bruising or bleeding problems. An aspirin a day, we used to say, keeps the doctor away. in some respects, it does. The properties of it is to thin the blood, to prevent a heart attack and stroke.
That's very, very important that people understand that. You know, always need to speak. You know, we're here to educate and lead people in the right direction. But you need to speak to your doctor about what you're taking. I always stress, and I'm sure you've seen this, I even have patients tell me every supplement, everything they're taking.
Absolutely.
Because everything can make, whatever you put in your mouth makes a difference. And patients think it's just medication. Mm-hmm. It's everything because the supplements, the herbal supplements, can interact with the medications.
Yeah, many times we see quite a few side effects as far as drug-drug interactions. And also, in our business, we prescribe other blood thinners in addition to aspirin, which can make you bleed or bruise much more easily. So I will tell you, aspirin is good for someone who's had a heart attack. It's good for somebody that's had high blood pressure or high cholesterol. And most of our patients are on an aspirin a day when they fit into that category. And don't forget the diabetics, because diabetics have a high incidence of heart disease,
right.
Stroke, and vascular disease, and that's very important for them as well.
This is very, very important. If anybody has any questions, you can call 206-1580. Another, I find a lot of people, there's a lot of miscommunication about patients who are on Plavix and Omeprazole. Omeprazole is a medication that's used to decrease the acid production in your stomach. People who have reflux, heartburn, many times take that. And also Plavix is a medication that helps, quote, thin the blood, but in a different way.
Yes,
if you want to talk
about
it.
It's a platelet inhibitor.
Yeah, platelet inhibitor.
Mm-hmm. Plavix and Prilosec or Omeprazole, actually we've used for a long, long time in cardiology together, prevent gastritis, peptic ulcer disease from happening. And there were some studies out that showed that maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Maybe it prolonged bleeding. Maybe it caused more ulcers in the end and caused more patient complications. But now, in the last several months, we have proof that no, it doesn't. They're pretty safe to be given together. However, if your physician feels it's inappropriate, there are other solutions out there, such as Tagamet, Provacet. These are the trade names, Zantac, all good. And other medicines such as Acifex and or Dexilin. Those are all stomach medications which can be used in conjunction with Plavix or Carfilzomib very easily. But just remember that you can use both together that was information that was spread around in the media that we should not do that, that there's deleterious effects, is not true.
Right, and there's a lot of confusion. I even have pharmacists who will call and tell the patient, don't take that together. So, you know, we have to cite them. Because this is a recommendation from the American College of Cardiology, right?
Yes, you're correct. In March, we made a huge statement at the American College of Cardiology that these two medications can be taken together.
And that's very important. Another thing that you were talking about, anticoagulation.
Mm.
That's a big hot topic.
That's a big hot topic every single day in my office. What are the purposes of anticoagulation? The purpose is to thin the blood to prevent stroke. And many times we use it in patients with an abnormal heart rhythm, such as atrial fibrillation, sometimes atrial fib, atrial flutter, which is another form of an atrial dysrhythmia. What it does, it's designed to stop blood clots from forming in the heart that can be shot to the brain, causing stroke. We also use it to prevent blood clots in the legs, and
right.
We use it for people who've had blood clots to the lungs as well. So these drugs, there are the old therapy, many years of use, studied very well, is Coumadin. But Coumadin or warfarin is becoming more and more obsolete. And that is because you have to go to the doctor's office and get your finger stuck, or you have to go to the lab and you have a blood test called an INR. This tells us how thin or thick your blood is. And once we understand that, we dose adjust your Coumadin. So not everybody can take Coumadin.
It's affected by your diet.
Absolutely. And you can't eat greens with it. That's the big one.
I know.
Dark greens. And what does cardiology tell you? Go out and eat your salads. Eat more vegetables. And it actually makes the blood thicker, and Coumadin can't do its job. So there's several other drugs, such as Pradaxa, that was the first one out. Then Xarelto is the next drug that came out. And now we have also a Apixaban. So we have four drugs which we can use for AFib. The newer drugs, of course, are costly, but I suggest you talk to your doctor about which one is really best for me, and then you have to pay for it somehow. The newer drugs are very expensive. Coumadin is very cheap. However, add up the cost it takes to take Coumadin, because actually one of the newer drugs may be cheaper in the long run. Ask your doctor, is it appropriate for me to switch? I will tell you, once you get on one of the newer drugs, you take it once or twice a day. You don't have to go to your doctor for follow-up for an INR. However, understand these drugs do cause bleeding problems if your blood is too thin, or if you have a gastric ulcer or gastritis. So you can have bleeding of the gums, bleeding in the GI tract, bleeding in the urine. A side effect of these drugs, but we're giving them for the right reason. And so the risk of stroke, if you don't take these medications as prescribed, is always very high from atrial fibrillation. And that's why we use these drugs, so you don't have a stroke.
Right. It's trying to prevent a major event. I think that there's a lot of people are not understanding what is risk. How do you explain risk to people? Because I know, you know, I talk about risk. I've talked about it, but I want to hear from how do you tell people?
Well, I'll tell you, typically if a patient comes in and is referred to us for atrial fibrillation, we have a very long discussion about the risk of stroke, what happens in atrial fibrillation. The heart dilates. Actually, you can have more heart failure with it as well. So how do we prevent stroke? How do we prevent the heart from dilating? How do we prevent a reduction in your quality of life? Because patients with atrial fibrillation may also have chest pain, heart failure, fluid retention, fluid overload, higher blood pressure. So what we do is we bring them in and say, all these things are bad for you, number one. Number two, what are we going to do to prevent it? What are we going to do to prevent the number one problem of atrial fibrillation, but by giving you a blood thinner? Typically, Coumadin was our first drug of choice. Now we have several other drugs of choice that we use as first-line therapy. And they will become more and more prevalent in our care or care plan for these patients when they come into our office. We won't talk about Coumadin too much longer in medicine, but we will talking about the risk of the blood thinners with them. What we do is basically say all these medications may cause you to bleed. However, the risk of stroke is much, much greater than the bleeding risk. The newer medications that are on the market are actually safer. There's new studies out about Xarelto in particular and Apixaban is actually having less risk of bleeding problems.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And so I will tell you, for me as a practitioner that sees the complications of bleeding as well, which are few and rare if taken appropriately and you monitor and follow up with your doctor after you get started on these medicines. When you get started on these medicines, what we do is we actually monitor you more frequently to assure you don't have the risk of bleeding. We usually get some blood work the day before you start it, the day you do start it, and then in 1 week, 1 month, and every 3 months for the first year. And then we get more blood work every 6 months after that. We do a CBC. We make sure your liver is working properly, because if you have liver or kidney disease, these drugs may not be appropriate for you.
That's very important. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people say, I have patients at times go, do I have to have blood work again?
Yes.
And I say, well, yes, you know, when I prescribe a medication, as also when you do, we are responsible for everything we do as practitioners, that if we give you a medicine, we need to monitor that effect, because it may not be the same for you, Tom. It may not be the work the same
right.
on me
mm-hmm.
or on the next person. And we know many of these medicines, the way they're metabolized, it goes through your liver or it goes through your kidney, and we need to make sure that those organs are doing okay.
That's
so,
right.
I mean, people, again,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, as we age, you know, the kidneys and the livers don't like some of the medicines we prescribe. So we can have side effects. But our goal from a medical standpoint is low risk, few side effects, and cost effective.
Yes, that's very important too. But, you know, it's like everything. Do you want to, on the front end, try to be preventative
mm-hmm.
or try to take whatever medicines you have to take to help prevent the fact that if you have a stroke, you won't be able to go back to work or enjoy your life, if you have
mm-hmm.
a heart attack too? I wanted you to touch a little bit on too, is women and heart disease.
Ooh.
You know,
ooh.
I know there's so much,
ooh.
And we've discussed this, but I just think it's so important. Many women still feel that heart disease is a man disease.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. More women die with their first heart attack. We generally don't survive. Over 250,000 females a year will die with their first heart attack. Women are kind of special. You know, we wear multiple hats. We go, go, go. We take care of the kids. We take care of our men. We pick up the kids from school. We work.
Right.
Oh, we're in the workforce too. Oh my gosh. and those, heart disease for women basically comes sometimes at the same age as a man, at 50. And the reason is we become menopausal. We don't have the protectiveness of our ovaries any longer. So what happens, men usually get heart attack and heart disease, their first symptoms at age 50. Women probably about age 60, because we have a 10-year hiatus after our ovaries don't want to work any longer. We go through menopause. But then actually our disease accelerates as fast as the men. And even though our hormones are cardioprotective, that cardioprotectiveness is not forever. So one thing I can encourage women to do early is control your blood pressure. If you have high cholesterol, control it,
right.
and exercise.
Right. And, you know, I read a statistics, which is a little bit sad for me to think about, is that more and more young women are smoking.
That is one of the most preventable, modifiable risk factors today in heart disease. That's a very, very sad event once they start smoking. Not only does it affect the heart, but it affects the lungs as well. Actually, it accelerates coronary artery disease and stroke.
Right, because it causes inflammation. And also, I see more and more women with bladder cancer who were smokers. Mm-hmm. But these young women, a lot of them are under the, quote, myth that they're going to stay thinner if they smoke, or they feel they use it as an appetite suppressant.
Yeah.
And it is... You're trading so much terrible things to start smoking when you're young than even just being a few pounds overweight. And, you know, that's been proven.
Yeah, I'd rather have a few pounds overweight. Actually, smoking is much, much worse than being 10 or 15 pounds over the recommended body weight.
And it's so important that people understand this, and the young people, about smoking. Another is the metabolic syndrome.
Metabolic syndrome, usually your blood sugar is a little too high. You don't make enough of good cholesterol. You generally have a sedentary lifestyle. And you've got too much around the middle. And also your bad cholesterol is too high. So what can we do about that? And this happens to women quite frequently because we're around kids a little bit more. We eat foods that might not be appropriate for us. They may be more sugary, more starchy. They may lend to a little bit more adiposity around the midriff. So what we tell people with dysmetabolic syndrome is reduce your calorie count. Again, eat like a diabetic. Reduce your bad starches in your diet. Reduce your sugars. Any cakes, cookies, pies, pastas, candies, big baked potatoes, white flour-based foods. I tell my patients they're fairly evil. We should not be eating those. And if we do, we need to eat a small amount and then put them away.
Well, we only have a few minutes to go, but if anybody would like to call us at 206-1580, and again, I want to remind everyone that we have a wonderful guest, Deborah Dunham, nurse practitioner, who works with Dr. Paul Popper. And she has so much great information. But on a personal note, what made you decide to do this career? What happened?
Oh, long, long time ago. You know, I looked at the white cap and the white dress, and I said, wow, that's neat. But then, as I said, that's neat, understanding there is a lot more under the sheets, so to speak, or under the white dress and the cap, actually a true love for science and a true love for making individuals feel better, about themselves, get their energy back, get their stamina back, get out there and do what you love to do, whether it's exercise, whether it's traveling, whether it's seeing your five grandkids, whatever makes you tick and makes you want to live and love for life with a chronic disease. I really love doing that.
That's great.
Putting the person back together, getting them out there and making sure that they can love every moment of their life.
That's wonderful. And I've had patients, too, where we found that they have rhythm problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then having to get a pacemaker and the protection that that's going to give them to help them lead their lives so they don't pass out. It's such a wonderful feeling to know that you've prevented something, or you discovered, unfortunately, that someone may have severe vascular disease and
can't walk, can't get to the car, can't go to church, can't walk in the grocery store. There's a lot of different things we can do to look at the disease, see what we can do to help the individual get better, whether that is from medications only, whether that's from risk factor modification, as we've discussed over and over today, whether it's from intervention, angioplasties, whether stenting, sometimes laser atherectomy by a very specialized individual in vascular surgery and medicine. Sometimes surgery is necessary. And then once you get it fixed, then you have to modify all your risk factors, whether it's medications, diet, cholesterol control, blood pressure control, diabetes control.
Well, I've always said at the Triana Prevention Center, we try to prevent, control, and regress. And you can regress vascular disease, and it's a very important. And once, and like you said, once you fix it, you know, once you put a stent in, it's not like you walk out the door and say,
hey,
oh,
that's all. No.
You know, that's it. Yeah. Or I tell people, there is no medicine on earth that I can give you that's going to prevent everything. Mm-hmm. And in fact, or is counteracting how many, if people smoke, that risk is very, very great. Well, I've really enjoyed having you here. It's
Thank you. Really great.
And I wanted you to tell us, I know just we only have a few minutes left, but I know during the break you were saying, and we're really not a political show, but you were saying that we're going to need to be more responsible.
Yes, as the new Obamacare is actually in process in here for many physicians and healthcare providers, we're trying to figure out how we can best help our patients. Medicines are expensive, but prevention and taking care of yourself now as you're a young adult in your 40s, reduce your weight, be and remain active. Don't let yourself go, so to speak, because there's not going to be the resources there in Medicare or with our insurances that will allow us to have this level of medical care that we're getting today.
Well, hopefully we can change that in life, because I think we all need to know how to prevent, but hopefully the things won't become so changed that when somebody really needs something very special, that they're able to get it.
Yeah, there's lots of resources out there, Dr. Triana. The American Heart Association, CardioSmart, there's a huge organization, womensheart.org.
Right.
All these are designed to give the patients and people the information they need to do better every single day. So read it, own it, do it. You'll prevent the devastating side effects of cardiovascular disease.
And remember, if you have a question, you can email me at askdrtriana@trianapreventioncenter.com. Or also, we have a great website, Triana Prevention Center. I don't know if you want to give any of your statistics too.
Oh, actually, the heart, the Center for Performing Hearts.com.
Yeah.
Very simple to remember. If you go on our website, there is information about cardiology, preventable diseases, and what we do.
That's wonderful. That is really, really great. And also, we are going to ask Dr. Popper to also be a guest.
Oh, that's going to be special.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. And have a wonderful weekend. Stay healthy. Thank you again, Deborah Dunham, a nurse practitioner, for being my guest today.
Thank you, Dr. Triana.